Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
What's up, believers? It's about that time again. We're talking season 3, episode 29. We're talking The Hunger Inside. We're talking Lucha Underground. So stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What is happening? I turn away from Rachel for 10 seconds?
Wait. For you listeners, you might want to tune in to
please
the YouTube stream.
Please, for the love of God, tune into the YouTube stream.
Rachel's disguising herself in the set like it's WWE.
She's a little bit loopy. She's a little bit loopy because she hasn't eaten since a pocket sandwich during an escape room. It's a whole thing.
Which sounds like an after show.
Guys, this is the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We're right back here. Same bad time, same bad channel. Squad back together. That's right, we're talking season 3, episode 29, The Hunger Inside. My name is Ty Matthews. You guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Joining me, as always, my favorite people to talk about cannibalistic luchadors with. To my left, you can find her online at Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Evans. Really depends on how your brain works. Or you can find her online at www.youtube.com/snarled or www.youtube.com/slatrix.
You're right.
Guys, it's Rachel Evans.
Hi.
There's so much to cover.
I'm so excited to be here.
You're so pumped.
I'm so pumped.
This episode got hot at the end. We'll talk about that.
Oh, man.
But it was really sweet.
Flustered. To Rachel's left, he's usually in the booth, but he's showing that lovely face as he does every Thursday night right here on this panel. You can find him online at Jim in the Booth. Guys, it's James Frank.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm fantastic as well.
Guys, man in the ones and twos, our boy Josh Rodriguez.
What up, everybody?
What it do?
J-Rod. Nice.
Man.
I like you.
That was good. That was a good intro. Oofa doofa. Oofa doofa's right. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. So we opened with Eat It.
This episode's called The Hunger Inside. This is why we're starting with Alfred Yankovic, accordionist extraordinaire.
I never put that together.
Yeah.
Alfred.
It's Alfred. Yeah.
Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
No. I just thought of like Batman parodies with Alfred Yankovic.
Alfred Yankovic.
Weird Al as Alfred the Butler would be pretty phenomenal.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. So, what were you saying was on this tray that?
Oh yeah,
Dario
so we gotta talk.
Matanza.
So we start out. Let's just get right into this damn episode. We start out with Dario Cueto, Matanza Cueto. On either side of those bars, Dario is all out of sorts because Matanza bonked him against that cage.
Yeah,
those bars.
Yeah, but he understands. We had a lot of revelations in this.
A lot.
So many revelations. Let's go through them. Number one, he has God in him. One of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. We got that. We knew that.
It's eating away at his humanity.
Yes.
What is that?
Siri is being rude.
Girl!
Go on.
No, you go on. What was that?
You go on with the chlorophyll.
Okay. So number one, we find out. I can't. Number
Billy Madison.
Oh, I like that one.
Shampoo goes on first.
Shampoo
we'll,
is better.
We'll be here all night if we start on Billy Madison.
Number one, we find out there's a God.
We knew there's God inside his body.
I'm going chronological of revelations.
Okay. Just in terms of from Matanza's introduction.
Now he's the humanity inside of him is completely diminishing, and Dario Cueto's scared that he's going to lose his brother. And we see a different side of Dario to me. This was very sweet. Mm-hmm. He was like, I don't want to lose my brother.
Yeah, he's afraid the other gods won't accept him.
Well, he's afraid he's just going to become a vessel. And he's like, my brother is going to be gone.
He's afraid the other gods will literally destroy him.
Yeah. And something I said, because am I a genius?
This is pretty smart.
I'm a genius.
There's a little bit of ego that's getting out of control with you.
No. If I don't compliment myself, nobody else will.
Josh is on point.
There's more super ego. But no. What am I saying? I
got your called shot.
Oh, this is what's gonna happen to. They know I'm talking to them.
She's pointing like Babe Ruth.
Call that shot.
Candy bars. this is what's gonna happen to Cage. This is what's gonna happen to Cage. It's going to completely eat away at his humanity until he is nothing.
Until he's really a machine.
He is a machine. He is nothing but a vessel.
Okay.
He's nothing but a vessel. And then I wonder, after the god leaves him, is that going to happen? Like, is he going to be like, oh, I love puppies now? Or like, you know,
well,
I
do
have
you think
to change
it's like multiplicity?
It's like shaving your head.
He becomes like the third version.
She touched my puppy.
It's like shaving your head. Once you have no more humanity left, your hair's going to grow back like a beautiful.
Interesting.
I wish that
no
was
more damage.
The case that happened.
That's what you're doing, right?
Do you think there's a chance? Do you think there's a chance that the god part of that gauntlet will eat away at Cage so much that he will murder Matanza?
Oh man.
That he will like explode his head the way he did Lorenzo Lamas?
I don't know if that's possible.
No, not to Matanza. No.
You don't think?
Not to Matanza.
Okay, the things that I was wondering in this segment were all towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
How does he eat? Do you think he like takes the mask off and he's got like
He's got to take the mask off.
I think he's got like a predator face under there. And then why didn't they put bagel bites?
Oh
like,
god!
They should have definitely been
what
bagel
a missed
bites.
Opportunity yeah. that was.
Or just like some bagel bites.
Yeah. Just a few. Just yeah. amidst all of like yeah. the
raw meat
venison
or whatever.
The
it
like
was.
Really nicely cut. That's what. That's the other yeah. thing that bothered me about this. It was beautifully
It was really gorgeously plated.
Like when you go to Korean barbecue and it comes out.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay would have been very happy with it.
That was a filet mignon, maybe.
Maybe.
And also it was definitely sautéed with like, I want to say maybe some nice teriyaki, maybe a ponzu. I'm not sure. I just don't know.
I'm with it.
Jimbo?
I would eat it.
You don't care.
I always care.
You don't care about me.
I was
at
looking
all.
At my notes and I wrote
bagel bites.
Bagel bites. What a dumb man.
Control your hunger. Man. Missed this... opportunity for another Snickers ad.
What
if he would have fed him Snickers today? Snickers and Matanza bit it?
Matanza.
Who would he turn into? Masquerita de Grasse.
Matanza, you get a little cannibalistic when you're hungry.
It's just Puma, but he's wearing his skinny jeans and then he eats a Snickers and he's wearing his gear again. He's like, oh, I'm feeling much better.
It's not like one of those things where it would be like Phyllis Diller and then it's just him.
It's just him, but with different pants on.
All right, let's get into this opening contest. The Cueto Cup rolls on. We've got Pindar versus Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Which, Rachel and I talked about this a little bit while we were watching. I'm a little bit bummed that we got such an excessively violent ending a couple weeks ago with that fork attack. And now Phoenix is like totally like aces again. He's perfectly fine.
I didn't realize that.
We didn't really
just mention that right now.
Yeah.
But Phoenix, they burn out and then they grow. Right?
Even
they
that, if they had mentioned that, I would have been like, all right,
yeah,
I'll give you that.
Matt Stryker with your crazy Phoenix reference.
I'll give you that. But like that was one of the coolest endings to any episode we've ever seen, and
we're just
kind of not revisiting it.
Which leads me to believe that maybe this is something that's going to reoccur with Marty. Maybe he's gonna
like fork attacks.
He's going to keep forking people.
I see,
but still,
keep on forking in the free world.
I love how. Whenever, because something with Pindar's mask, I don't know if
it's an odd mask.
Yeah, and those seem like movie style masks,
right?
Not really like wrestling.
Yeah. Right,
so
right.
It's got to be a pain in the ass to wear. But when he adjusts it, I think it fits his character. Like he's like getting pissed because you'll see him like smack his head and move it around.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
so it's like part of his.
I kind of like that.
Like, cool. He gets angry and he's just like,
right.
And then he like charges because there were several moments where he's like
charging at
Phoenix and he's getting out of the way.
I would like to see that like them more lean into it. Like he's not necessarily a lizard man. Mm-hmm. He is a wrestler dressed as a lizard man, and that is part of his psyche. You know.
But then why would he? Cobra, you know, it's very confusing.
It's a whole thing.
He needs to be a lizard man.
It's like the mask from Goosebumps.
Of course, the haunted mask.
Exactly.
Right.
I loved, there are great tilt-a-whirls, like,
of course.
Moves in this match.
Pindar, just like, technically speaking, if you're looking at his Lucha Libre skills, he's a phenomenal base for lighter luchadors to kind of orbit around him.
Wait, yeah. Who are we talking about again?
Pindar.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I spaced out. I was thinking about Tilt-A-Whirls.
Yes.
Then I started thinking about the rodeo.
There you go.
All right. I'm back.
You got it.
Okay, Pindar. Okay, did you catch this? I feel like I might have auditory hallucinated.
I think you
this.
Might have because I didn't catch this.
I heard Vampiro call Pindar by his full birth name. When he was in the corner.
I'll have to rewatch this because I
you
didn't catch that
You gotta rewatch it
all.
If you're in the chat and you heard that too.
Stephen Payne?
That's exactly what I said.
No, like his name. Like his mama name.
He has a name. His name is Robert Paulson.
His name is Robert Paulson.
Anyway, if nobody else heard it, I'm pretty sure I hallucinated.
Yeah, you might have.
Maybe you can just hear the lizard people. Like
crab people.
I've had a lot of like reptiles growing up.
Missed.
I believe that.
A reptile dysfunction?
I've had a lot of reptile dysfunctions. Two of my reptiles tried to kill my sister.
What?
Yeah, my two snakes tried to kill my sister. They hated her.
Oh boy.
Because they loved me. I was their snake queen.
What were their names?
Oh, Elvis
Vibora
and Lucy.
Vibora and Pindar.
Elvis and who?
Elvis and Lucy.
Dope.
Don't be dumb, obviously.
Don't be dumb.
Those are the perfect snake names.
Lucy for
his snake.
Lucifer.
Oh boy.
And Elvis for the king.
Right, yeah. The king.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Oh
man.
Pindar.
Phoenix should have definitely Kidmaned out of that power bomb.
Oh
that
yes,
was the, that was a huge thing.
He needs to adopt that. Like you never powerbomb Kidman, you never powerbomb Phoenix.
Exactly.
Always turn it into the
because he lands on his feet anyway.
Right.
I was
right,
not just Kidman out of that powerbomb?
Sure.
That crazy butterfly. Pindar sets him up.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Weird butterfly lifts him up, spins
into
him out.
The sit out slam.
Yeah,
that the was, movie we were talking about. Where he kind of rests
him
on his
this.
Legs.
Oh,
the butterfly
flipped him inside and
turns it over.
Like that.
Was that the excessive one?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Also, the monkey flip that Pindar hits Phoenix with, and he flies so far, and he howls upon impact.
Yeah, truly, too.
Truly,
like
just
voice
bays
cracked.
At the moon.
Yeah, his voice cracked.
Right.
That felt real.
Which, not the last voice crack we'll see on the episode.
No.
Eventually, so Phoenix goes for that kind of that very top rope Spanish fly. It was almost scary.
Yeah.
Almost very scary. And then he just
kind
drops full weight double knees on the guy's torso.
Dude, it
crazy.
Was funny because he does that X-Pac-like back kick.
Yes.
But
he
runs up the second rope and does it. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for him to just knock someone's head off when
or
he does
fall.
That kick.
Right. We saw some solid kicks tonight,
you know,
for sure.
It would be great. Since we haven't seen King Cuerno in a while, I'm just picturing like King Cuerno's hat thing that he would wear on the corner.
Yeah.
And Phoenix jumps up for the kick and he moves and he just kicks that shit off the ring post. But in this match, he hits like a gnarly Hoyuken,
mm-hmm.
and then he goes for his like Spanish fly thing,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of turns into a arm drag.
Almost,
off the ropes.
Yeah.
And then it looks like, he's going to do a frog splash, but then he tucks and then never
pops
out.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
And he just double knees
that's
the
exactly
shit
what happened. Yeah.
So bad.
Man, that's right, because that's exactly what I thought.
So
I was
like,
he's going to
do a frog splash.
Nope.
Was this Knees-A-Million?
It was Knees-A-Million. Rachel dubbed it Knees-A-Million, which might be my favorite.
If I can't learn the moves, I make up the names.
Knees and thank you.
Knees and oh. Oh, my God.
It's a fucking
stupid.
Good one.
What else? Backstage, we've got Worldwide Underground standing by with Dario Cueto.
Yeah.
Jack Evans, with his jaw wired shut, might be my favorite
so
character
funny.
On the show.
That's my favorite Jack Evans, for
yes.
sure.
Yeah.
He's all talking shit to PJ still?
It's
his fault.
right. Oh my God.
You know,
I knew someone just like this in wrestling that had their jaw wired shut and still talked just as much.
Oh, I can't wait
probably
to,
more, probably
I can't
more
wait
so.
To hear about this.
Yeah. But
no Benji.
Right, no Benjamin Cook.
Where the hell
we're
is Benji?
We're just gonna head.
He should have definitely been there.
Right.
Or
right.
Benji's on the line. Like something. Some kind of reference.
I thought I changed my number.
Yeah.
Right.
Some kind of reference. Or when they left, if Benji would have called, like that shit would have been great. The best part of this whole segment was we're getting the gift of the gods.
Yes, the return of the medallions.
Ooh.
Return of the Medallions. So Ricky Mendel, PJ Black, and Taya will get a chance at the Medallions next week, but only if nobody in the Worldwide Underground interferes in Johnny Mundo's match with Dragon the Second Jr. tonight.
I got fooled by this vignette.
Did oh yes, you did, you did, you did.
I was like, what about Clone Boy? And Ty was like, he's standing right there.
She thought that the loophole was gonna be like, oh, Ricky Mandel is not there, so like he's gonna interfere.
Oh,
I was like, Rachel, he's right there.
He's right there.
She thought it was
Mundo.
Yeah.
I thought it was Mundo.
Until he gotcha. Talked and he was like, hey, Rachel.
Until he said clear and it was very much Ricky Mandel's voice.
No. Not even then. I'm sure I wasn't paying attention. And then at the end of the scene, it was a four shot. And I was like, yeah, I'm so smart because I figured that out. And so that's what's going to happen.
She's a genius.
Ego that's getting out of control with you.
No.
Those pictures have got to come back into play.
Oh, my God.
I don't think they will.
That was all just...
That's just more headcanon at this point.
That was just a mess up that some stagehand forgot to take back off the production thing.
they're just shooting glossy 8x10s.
Like, oh, what are these doing here? Like, oh, well, we're rolling. Just go with it. Like, oh, what are these? Oh, can I have them? Sure. Cut. Like, oh, shit.
All right, I guess we're rolling on that. Check the gate. Moving on.
That was too heavy of a storyline to just drop completely.
What, the photos?
Yeah.
I know, right?
And they were crazy, creepy,
crazy
like,
photos.
Island dollhouse weird.
Wait, oh, that's right. Wait. Did they have anything to do with what's her name with the thing?
Well, with the medallion? Captain Vasquez?
Medallion. Yeah.
The photos?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I remember them being
I think
the
if
same...
anything, it had something to do with Crane. Jeremiah Crane.
Oh, do you think?
I think so, because the last house on the...
And I was like...
Remember that Ouija board?
Yes.
Remember?
But the Ouija board has everything to do with Medallion
Girl. Sure. Well, your theory of Medallion Girl.
Oh my God, it's not a theory. It's
unless something did get confirmed, I don't remember.
Well, just by me right now.
Just you and your... premonitions.
Wait till the end.
She has connections.
Your premonitions.
I have connections, meaning psychic connections.
To the other side.
Yeah.
Hello from the psychic side.
Oh. Yes, Satan.
Yes.
Hail Satan.
Exactly what I was talking about.
Hail Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy.
Hail Satan.
You almost got it.
Zoltan.
You almost got it. I want to teach you how to do the pentagram after the show.
Yes, Satan.
What else? Yes, Dante Fox versus Prince Puma.
Dude.
Queto Cup rolls on.
Dante Fox has been the MVP of this season.
But you're absolutely right. This match, good lordy.
Holy cow.
No, you're not.
What?
Crane.
What?
Is the MVP of this season. But
they've been pretty neck and neck.
They're pretty neck and neck.
They're killing it every
this,
match.
Rachel made an astute observation that watching this match was very much like watching a video game.
Yeah.
And I likened it to like, if you're watching two people that are really, really good at it and they have infinite reversals, and it's just constantly like, oh my God.
That's what I was like. I wish my recovery time was that good.
Right.
She's like jumping back into the
Rachel's
ring.
Live streaming WWE 2K17 over on her channel, Slaytrix.
So I have a new appreciation, and I might learn some move names.
Yeah. You legitimately might. That's actually one of the best ways to learn move names.
If you create a wrestler, you're definitely going to learn.
You're going to learn a ton.
You're going to have to build your moveset.
Mm-hmm.
I have done this.
Yeah?
That was my advice to Johnny Loquasto.
Pick, like, the default guy?
No. Driver. No. Dog meat. What? You think I'm live streaming for my job and I just picked the default wrestler?
No, the default, like,
what moves did you pick?
Preset moves that you could...
Oh, I did like, preset ones
you could create your wrestler and then pick grappler moves.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to be creating for 7 hours.
No, I didn't create on camera.
Going through every single arm drag.
Yeah.
Right-handed punch.
Yes,
left-handed punch.
I did go back after the last episode and include some more interesting drivers.
Like?
The bus driver.
I don't know what they're called.
Driver.
The taxi driver.
The front one, the side one, and then the one from the shoulder down to the thing.
The psycho driver.
Boom! Psycho driver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Rachel driver. The Tyler driver and the Jimbo driver.
I love it.
You know what was awesome?
What's that?
This great like tilt-a-whirl reversal, and then Fox spun it into a twisting.
Oh, into the corkscrew suplex.
Yes, that
absolutely.
Was so badass. Like, yeah, every sequence they had in this match was like a video game.
Everything
was so awesome.
Everything in this match was so elaborate and so complex. But one of my absolute favorite moments is Prince Puma is kind of prone in the corner. Dante Fox charges at him, and Puma just, like, steps to the side and just puts his foot out and trips him. And I lost it because it's so simple, but it makes sense. Like, they're going so fast, they've got so much momentum, it makes sense that just, like, sticking your foot out would be the petard that they're hoisted upon.
Like how Finley would hold the ring apron open
people
go for the baseball
the
slide.
The first time I saw him do that, I lost my mind.
Genius.
It was such a cool spot. Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
So Finley, you know Finley?
Yeah.
I love to fight.
Yes.
He would he'd be on the outside of the ring, mm-hmm. and someone on the inside would go to do a baseball slide on him, slide out of the ring.
Yeah.
He would pull the apron out so they got stuck between the apron and the ring skirt, let it go, and then just beat the shit out of him.
It'd be like a hockey fight where you just pull the jersey over their head.
Exactly.
He just like traps them in the
apron. It's really cool.
Why don't people do that anymore?
Some do.
Some, it's a little bit more common
Does
now.
Does the temple have a ring skirt?
Not one that you'd easily be able to pull like that. Yeah.
Also, their
Now they have LED screens on the side of the ring. And
in the temple?
Oh, no, no, not here, temple. But in WWE, yeah.
I was like, in the temple?
No. they're
that would be far too high-tech.
What a weird aesthetic clash. I was at the beach today with a bunch of four-year-olds, and they were...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, and they were... Yeah, I know. And they
Field
were
trips with Rachel.
Doing this thing... I party. They were doing this thing where they would run as fast as they could against their mother's thighs... to make them stop the momentum and then run back to the other side, whatever. And they just kept doing this and chasing each other like this and just hitting each other against their mom's thighs and then running back to the other side of the beach. And that's exactly what this match looked like. It was...
I love it.
It was a long way to get there, but I like it.
Well, it just... That's where my head was. It was just a lot of, ooh, no.
That sounds kind of interesting.
No, you can't get me. No, you
that's
can't
a
get
fan
me.
Favorite.
It's a club banger.
Fox's corner, clothesline, skin the cat, drop kick.
Oh, God, yeah.
Insane.
We gotta have shorter names for all of his shit.
Please.
I love how
How about the cool one?
Holds his hand and pulls him up into the Death Valley Driver.
Oh my God. The Death Valley Driver, straight up, like no wasted movement, up to the top rope.
450 knees. Like,
yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a great sequence.
Amazing. What else did we get? So, huge super kick from Prince Puma to Dante Fox, who's sitting on the top rope, followed by an avalanche regalplex, folding him completely over.
Yeah,
back
luckily,
up and over.
I was afraid he wasn't going to flip him over and he was going to legit
just
gonna
straight cradle
him. And I was
God.
They're dead. They are dead.
That would kill him.
I know.
Did you see, not to go off on too much of a other wrestling company tangent, did you see John Cena almost die on SmackDown?
Yeah.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Why'd he die?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Nakamura dropped him on his neck.
That's funny. Oh,
that
I like
be a
that.
Gift right
but
now.
John Cena is a transformer now.
Yeah,
so
that was Kevin Owens' tweet was the great.
Yeah,
like people are amazed, but we found out he's a transformer.
Yeah, he was the prototype. He was the prototype.
He was the prototype.
Yeah, he was just Jack 2 from Tekken.
Oh man. Okay.
But then the shotgun drop kick also that Prince Puma did.
It was like low key woo.
Exactly. The woo kick. Because we've seen like Finn Balor do that, and we've seen other people. Do that drop kick before, but Dante Fox had to have flown halfway across the ring into that corner to set up for the 6:30.
He in one swoop too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bothers me a lot about these like high tech moves that you have to be in the exact right spot. You have to be everything has to be perfect for the thing to work.
Right.
And so oftentimes, which I get, and it's we all excuse it as watchers. You see people like scooch-a-dooch. You know, you're like,
oh, they're on. Yeah, that's the
they're
funniest.
Like, I gotta
they're
get
like,
right
oh
here.
Man, I just got hit with this terrible move and I'm dead. But
yeah,
I need to be
little...
over here.
You gotta scoot your boot.
And it's like so boot. Awkward, and it's always awkward, and it's always weird. And you're like, okay, we'll just all pretend like we didn't see that.
Right.
There wasn't a single moment of that in this.
No.
And they had to get in, and you know how technical this was. They had to be in the exact right what is this place called?
The ring?
The ring.
What is this? Well, you had to be in the place.
Oh, okay.
You had to be in the exact right place.
Oh, wow. You're okay. Yeah.
I get confused. I've been coding a lot lately. Cool. You have to be in the exact right place to have the move work. And like you said, he flew. How do you fly backwards?
So far.
It was like in the movies where they have the string attached to them and they just
Exactly.
pull them out of frame.
Yeah. It was very much like a fucking Tony Jaa movie or some shit.
And it's barely with any help from Puma, he flew backwards 10 feet.
Right. Exactly. Flew completely. There's a lot of flying. A lot of...
High flying.
High flying maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, even from the beginning of this match, so many dives, just trading dives back and forth and back and forth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of this match.
Yes, okay. Yes.
He hits the 6:30.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Matt Stryker is like, war is hell. And all I could think of was the line from Ace Ventura 2.
Oh my god.
Like, the last thing we need is a butt. But anyway, he hits the 630. He gets the win. And it made me think, remember back in like early 2000s when P. Williams was the only guy doing the Canadian Destroyer?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now like Virgil and Buff Bagwell are doing Canadian Destroyers.
Right, every wrestler of all time.
Do you think we'll ever get to the point where like random people are just hitting 630s?
Oh man.
Because like way back when it was like Puma, aka right. Ricochet, was right. like one of the only Jarrell Clark.
Oh man, Jarrell Clark. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Jack Evans.
Right.
Like the only three people.
And that's kind of, I mean, that's sort of, there are probably like random like indie guys here and there that do it, but that's still kind of the case. But I think you're right. I think on a long enough timeline,
yeah.
we'll get to that point where it's like a show full of 630.
Yes. Well, I think all the kids that are like sharing and resharing the Ricochet Osprey fights are right. going to grow into those people.
Right, right, right,
that's
right.
Going to be the next Dynamite Kid Tiger Mask.
Yeah, I mean, really, like, yeah. For that, yeah, generation.
Going to be doing moonsault hero poses.
Right, that which, I mean, it's still pretty dope, like, if we're being real.
We are.
And we are.
We're trying.
And we're trying to keep it 100.
100.
Kill shot.
Kill shot. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. After the match, we've got a kill shot appearance. Hits that insanely complex finisher.
Brought the drama.
That I cannot remember for the life of me what he calls that move. But it's like a combination of the Kreutzwrath and the One Winged Angel.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega's finishers.
Nah. Isn't like the Japanese version
person
of it?
On the planet.
No, I know.
Like the Japanese version of it, like a Gonzo bomb.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You sound so disappointed in me when you say that Kenny Omega is my favorite wrestler and I don't know what the name of his favorite
yes.
wrestler. My
yes.
My mom's
you're right.
my favorite person and she's a real estate agent. I can tell you what escrow is.
Definitely. That's not the same thing. That would be like not knowing what your mom's like favorite food is.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about, right?
Right. Right.
Kenny Omega loves spaghetti and meatballs. Okay. So,
Spray.
He really got dramatic at the end.
And then
this.
He hit that line. There was a little bit of a weird pause.
Weird pause line. What did he say?
He said, you're right. This isn't over between us.
You're right. This isn't over between us.
A very pregnant pause. Very pregnant pause. But I'm excited. And
I could tell dramatic that he was... pause. I feel like he was trying to get his breath. But then he was like, I gotta make this dramatic.
Wait, I gotta finish.
And so the way that he said the last over between us was like, over between us.
Really?
Yeah. Go back and rewatch it.
I didn't catch that part of it.
That's why I kept saying it.
The double stomp also prior to all of this was pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I dig Killshot in a big way, but that was a weird pause to put in that line.
Oh, I love Killshot.
Yeah. What next match are they going to do against each other?
That's right, huh? Because they did the Weapons of Mass Destruction match.
Cage?
The cool thing to do would be to bring a bunch of soldiers out and just kick
like
them.
As a lumberjack match?
That'd be kind of cool.
They haven't done one of those in the temple yet, have they?
The closest they've done is the Believer's Backlash match, I think.
What if they have a Buddies of Mass Destruction match?
And? Go on.
They just bring a bunch of buddies in. A
bunch of friends?
A bunch of
ratty friends are coming over tonight?
Yeah.
Buddy!
I don't know. I just want to see a bunch of army men in that ring.
But, like, the toy army men, like, from Toy Story.
Yeah, that's what I want
to
see.
Yeah, what else would I be having?
They're parachuting from the
army men all over the temple. That
it's really
awesome.
A nuisance.
It's like Small Soldiers.
That would be great. That movie's classic.
That's right.
Is that what Tinker Toy Soldiers is about?
Which one?
What is that?
You guys don't know Tinker... You guys don't know Tinker Toy Soldiers?
What's Tinker Toy Soldiers? Oh, I'm excited. What is it?
Oh, I haven't seen it. It's a movie.
Uh-huh.
It's a movie. It's just like a classic movie. Like a really serious classic movie about like, I don't know. I think it's about like child stuff that you don't want to talk about into a microphone.
Tinker Toy Soldiers?
Yes. Or maybe it's just about sadness.
The movie Toy Soldiers is pretty dope with Sean Austin.
I forgot about that.
The Toy Story is also a great movie.
It's a classic.
I thought you were talking about the Gary Oldman one that came out a couple years ago. Tinker Taylor.
No, Tinker something, Toy something. Soldiers. I think it was a book first.
Not gonna work here anymore. Moving on. We've got Officer. No. Not yet.
Oh, my bad.
Not yet. We've got Officer Reyes watching his match as Veneno with Cage on a tablet.
That was so
and
funny.
Captain Vasquez is just so bummed.
She's so
like, you suck.
You suck, dude. so disappointed.
She was. I do like how, like, she understood. She wasn't like, wow, you've really disappointed
me.
She
was like, I get it. This was already an unstoppable killing machine, and now he's also part god. So, like, I get it.
And also, I'm pretty sure at the end of it, she said, well, that wasn't very good. Or she said something very non-offensive.
It was very, nonplussed.
Just like, well, that didn't go the way that we thought it would.
Right. Not your best performance, I think, is what she said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good managerial skills.
Yeah. Sure.
To be honest.
Right.
TBH.
She should have just given him a compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
That's what you
know
need to do.
I liked your mask.
You
got the shit kicked out of you.
That mask is awful.
It's really bad.
It's a weird sandwich.
It's a gross sandwich.
It's more like it's ending. It doesn't have an end.
Right. It's an open face sandwich.
It really was.
Okay, and then Veneno was like, no man can beat Cage. And then she was like, Medallion, you're right, no man can. Obviously, it's, wait for it, Katrina.
Well, she didn't say it quite as on the nose as that.
Yeah, she did. She said those words verbatim.
That's definitely not what she said. She said, maybe you're right.
Well, in my head.
Jesus Christ, Rachel.
You know what I really like?
This is why I keep telling you to watch the show with headphones on.
Here's the thing, though. And I was wearing headphones, and I don't think you're right. I think she said, you're right.
We will watch it the second we walk out of the studio.
I'm hearing shit. Doesn't have headphones on. She's like, Vampiro, really?
That's true. It might be even worse when you wear the headphones, if we're being honest. Which, once again, we are.
Maybe I should write for the show.
I
think
like
about
it.
That.
There you
Fuck
go.
Yeah.
There
I'm
you
all
go.
For that.
Rodriguez? I forgot his name.
I loved how they made the pictures, like the surveillance pictures of Cage, look like Terminator pictures.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought that was a
absolutely
great call by them.
Just because I misspoke doesn't mean that we should pass over the incredibly insightful thing that I know it's an ego thing. That a 10 out of 10, it's going to be Katrina.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right.
11 out of 10.
I think you're right.
That destroys Cage?
I'm so on board with that I literally can't remember if they've actually revealed that on the show. I'm pretty sure they haven't.
But I feel like they have in so many words. Like, they've been like, oh, I have this stone too. That's weird that we hung out together. Oh, and then Vasquez went up to Katrina and was like, remember when we were little girls? And then remember the episode
when...
Did
she say that?
Yes.
Okay.
The episode
you're right.
We were like, were they sisters or just friends?
Okay, yeah, you're right.
But I think they're in a coven.
Guys, that hiatus this season was very long. Give us a little bit of slack.
I cannot believe I remembered that.
Yeah, I know.
Anything to do with...
Rachel's recaps.
Yeah. Remember?
We gotta get back to doing those.
Remember, Rachel, remember.
We gotta
remember,
get...
Remember, Rachel, remember.
Just all the shit I made up is the only stuff I remember. It was really weird. Vampiro called everybody by their real names.
Like a really... He was like, hey, Matt Stryker.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Okay, so moving on to main event time. Johnny Mundo versus Dragonus Tekka Jr. Worldwide Underground are not allowed to interfere in the match. So we get a straight up clean one-on-one match.
Good match.
Which I super dug.
Yeah.
Really liked it. The green boy, the scaly boy.
So green. Too green.
Rachel had a lot of thoughts about how green his
attire was. I have
Sidomiano
for that gear. I've got no fear for that. That is like...
He's not supposed to inspire me, though.
I hate the headdress thing.
Yes.
The headdress thing is not great.
It
looks
like
one of those toy snakes that was like that were like
the dollar ones that
are
like plastic.
You're 1000% right there on board with me.
Just like this?
Yes. Right.
If it's adorable, then I'm not like, you know.
But that's how it gets you.
Like, oh,
it's a trick.
I guess that's true.
It's a trap.
Honey,
it's a trap. It's a trap.
I'm a snake.
It's like
cute.
It's like the can of peanuts, and then there's snakes.
Right.
Yeah. That's,
right.
That's the trick.
His head, the thing that he wears on his head, almost looks like the sneaky snake guy.
It does. It does. He looks like a personification of a tattoo. Okay.
I want to say that was like an old fighting game from the 90s where like people had tattoos and they like
came to life. Yeah.
Oh man.
I want to say it was like Tattoo Warriors.
That
it was something
in
not creative.
Elektra.
What's that?
One of the characters in the movie Elektra.
Oh, really?
That was like his superpower.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
In this match,
mm-hmm.
as Tekka goes for a Rana over the top rope to the outside.
Oh, God, that's right.
Mundo just nails him with the Spinebuster on the floor.
He gives
awesome.
Him the Dikembe Mutombo. No. Spinebuster. Yes, the Spinebuster on the outside. That was amazing.
There's a part where Mundo's just stomping the shit out of him,
mm-hmm.
and his mask moves, and his mouth's open, because he's like, oh. And the part that covers from, like, his nose to his lip slides into his mouth, and it's just like a gag, dude, and he's just like, oh.
funny.
I wish I saw that.
That's incredible. That's
hilarious.
Oh my god, what a treat.
The dive over the post.
Oh god, yes. Because
most times when you see people do that, they get as close to the corner as possible.
As they possibly can, yeah.
Put their hands where the post is and dive. This fool was like still halfway in the ring,
yeah,
and just went for it.
It was ridiculous, absolutely.
Beast mode. Maybe he's a dragon. Dragonfly.
You know, he could be. We saw so many kicks to the face as well.
Oh, man.
So many genuine.
It was
genuine,
a kick-heavy night.
It was, it was kicks-a-million.
It was kicks-a-million up in this piece, and they weren't pulling any kicks. I wanted to say punches, but
no,
kicks.
But yeah, you're right.
I'm a fool, and I know this, and I've never been kicked in the face professionally.
Right.
So I couldn't tell you if they weren't actually connecting, I could not tell you.
Mm. Like, well, they always connect either way.
Well, I know, but it looked like they were kicking the shit out of each other. Like, they looked, there was no part of, I like a magic trick on America's Got Talent.
Right.
All I kept doing was just rewinding. Like, I can figure this out.
It's the magic of professional wrestling.
Where did your foot go?
Right.
And why are you still standing?
When you watch people punch, from your boxing experience, are you like, oh, come on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah? Punching is super easy for me.
Who's the best and who's the worst at throwing punches?
Who's the best puncher?
Yeah, Josh.
It's a deep question.
Hurry up before you get the Jeopardy.
No.
God damn it.
I have to come back to it because I have two people.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. I'm very curious. Eventually, we see just a straight up...
DJ Black.
That's yes, he does have very good punches. Very, very good
and
punches.
And Taya.
Yeah, I could see that.
You can see it.
I could see that.
I don't remember who it was with. Maybe it was Mariposa.
Jeremiah Crane?
Yes!
Yeah.
Jeremiah Crane's number one.
That match was...
I'm an idiot. Jeremiah Crane is forever number one.
That match was redonk.
I'm not convinced that he is a professional wrestler. I think he is just a straight up
killer.
He's
just a serial killer, right?
Yeah, and everything he's ever done, I'm like... You killed that person.
Right.
You've
right.
murdered this
He's from
person.
The last house on the left.
His
right.
cover
right,
up
right, right.
is that he's a pro wrestler.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like Dexter. Like he just gets away with killing
and
people that way.
Not to be too inside baseball, but I felt this way when I saw him in Reseda, and he was just like drooling and like sweating from his mouth somehow.
Exactly. One of the one of the most appealing things about him is that everything seems so real and so genuinely unhinged.
But the biggest thing that I love most about him in regards to punching and boxing is that there's a very specific way to punch somebody that's effective.
Okay.
And that is like with your shoulder and you twist your hand out.
Interesting.
And
okay.
He does it every time. Because you can see where people are just like, punch.
Sure.
Punch. I'm punching. But he cocks his shoulder first and then does a twist. And it's just super authentic.
Looks,
even if it doesn't connect exactly where you're supposed to.
Uh-huh. That was Sweet Baby Ray's boxing corner.
I was like, don't punch yourself in the face.
Even if it doesn't...
I'm kicking my ass!
Do you mind? Oh my god.
But yeah, Jeremiah Crane.
I dig it. I like that. That was a good tangent. Eventually, Dragon II Jr. goes up top.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Mundo punches his leg out from under him, and he punches his leg out from under his leg. He destroys himself on that top rope, giving Johnny Mundo the opening to hit him with the end of the world, get that clean win, which I think was needed.
That leg kick was so good.
It was really, really good.
It was another like one of those like, ooh, that was smooth.
Ooh, right, yeah. right. Everything was very crisp tonight.
Yeah, it really
very
was.
Crisp, very cookie crisp.
Ooh.
Yes, right there, Jimbo.
That's the cookie cereal.
But I
think
with how much interference we've seen from Worldwide Underground, I think this was obviously needed to give Johnny Mundo a little bit more legitimacy going into his match with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, we got a few things to talk about. So after this match, Johnny Mundo attacks Dragon II Jr., puts his head inside a chair, is going to Pillmanize his skull.
Oh, what a great phrase.
It's great. Rey Mysterio makes the save, right? Runs him off, blah, blah, blah. He's leaving. Rey Mysterio is on his way out. He's leaving the temple. Johnny Mundo comes back, gets in the face of Rey Mysterio's family, who's at ringside, and in addition, including little Rey Mysterio. I can't remember his
name. Dominic.
Oh, I was just going to call him Babe Mysterio.
But
He's Sweet Baby Ray.
Which basically is the case because he is the spitting image of his dad.
He almost dropped the F-bomb.
And all very closely almost dropped the F-bomb. Johnny Mundo gets in his face, starts punking him out, gets in Rey Mysterio's face.
Your dad ain't shit.
He said, your dad ain't shit.
That's how he started it. He's like, hey, man, your dad ain't shit.
And then Dominic... I know.
So good.
Dominic straight up, he stands up, he turns that hat backwards, that close to an F-bomb.
He went straight Stallone over the top.
It was getting intense.
He towered over Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
holy shit, he's huge. And he's like, I'm not eight anymore.
Right.
It's like, no, you're a million. Right. And he's very soft boy.
But then Worldwide Underground comes out, and they're holding on to Ray, and security is still just focusing on Dominic.
Yeah.
And Mundo blasts Dominic in the face with the Lucha Underground Championship.
Just like the 17-year-old boy. Hold the child!
Hold the child, right.
You have a gang of wrestlers here, but you know, hold the child.
Right. A lot of great facial expressions from Taya, especially from Jack Evans.
Jack Evans blowing kisses on the way out.
So good.
So great.
But Taya's like, sorry.
It's like, ooh. Her run?
So
her
good.
Run, oh my god, the run. The run was phenomenal.
There was a lot of great comedy.
Yes, yes. A lot of great physical comedy.
Only two things during the segment that kind of took me out of it.
What's that?
When they were scuffling and they were kind of getting nose to nose and everyone's like, security's like getting in the way. Security like touched Dominic and you could hear the ruffle of like a mic in the shirt. So I was like, oh man.
He's wearing a wire.
Like, he's wearing a mic. And then the mom just sat there
the entire time.
She was like,
and like,
I don't like
this
at all.
No mother is going to let that go down without getting up and getting crazy.
I mean, maybe the wife of Rey Mysterio, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see it. I kind of relate to that, though.
Yeah.
I kind of relate to that. Coming from Texas, you see a lot of scuffles. And I've seen a lot of moms just sit back and be like, boys,
really?
You handle your business.
Yeah, I can see that. That's fair. That's fair.
It's a mentality.
Fair.
Just
That's fair. So after the show, we get a little bit of a stinger, which all the best stuff happens during the stinger. Melissa Santos and Phoenix are like on their way to their car outside of the temple,
which was played so well.
They're headed to a soda shop to share malt.
We talked about this because there were some moments of the episode where it didn't quite look as authentic, you know, them blowing kisses at each other before Phoenix's match with Pindar. But the way that they were flirting with each other and the way that they were kind of interacting with each other seemed so authentic, and it was legitimately adorable.
And kind of like awkwardly talking over each other, like not meaning to, and just being like, oh yeah, I sometimes wear it. And she's like, ah, that's cool.
Right.
And he's like, no, just only sometimes. Cool.
is the say anything with John Cusack where they're like touching each other, so like she thinks something's on her face because he's like touching his face and she's like touching her face. He's like, oh shit, something's on my face.
Yeah.
And they're just like awkwardly like, oh, I don't know what to do.
So sweet.
It was really, really sweet.
Also adorbs. Took some notes from Mel. Where she was like, ah, carry me.
that's a classic move. That's a classic.
I've literally never done that.
That's 101.
I've never been like, ah, carry me.
Well, you've been, you're more like, hey, let me tell you about like
Satan.
Death and Satan and serial killers.
Get on my shoulders. Let's rob a bank.
let's have a chicken fight to the death.
Yeah.
The man eating chicken.
But of course, Marty the Moth is in the shadows watching all this take place.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to take Phoenix's mask so she can see how ugly he really is.
Why would he say that? Why does he think he's ugly? Because of his forehead?
His forehead.
Do you think it's because of his forehead?
He doesn't have a forehead. He has a forkhead now.
Is that it? That's what it is. Because what if he takes off his mask and he's like, beautiful.
He's very handsome.
Because this is a really weird aspect of the storyline that is so intense. Like, I get it. Taking off the mask in Lucha is like a huge offense.
Sure.
It's a huge deal. But they've been so adamant about messing up his mask and taking his mask off him. He has to be the most gorgeous person in the world.
Right.
Or like really funny ugly. Or like... What? Like American Horror Story ugly. Because why do I care?
Right.
Why do I care that he has some scars on his head? Mel's not going to care. She's in the temple.
Right.
Why is this happening? Why is it? If you want Mal,
I don't necessarily think that's where it's going, but I like that.
But why are they so? Am I wrong to think that they are so too adamantly going after his mask?
Not necessarily. I think it's literally just what you said. It's just the tradition of the mask, okay. And that someone with Marty's warped worldview is like, oh, he must be hiding something.
Yeah, but also. He and Mel's entire conversation was about his mask.
Right, because it's a Lucha Libre show.
What if they do, like...
I don't get it. I mean,
Phoenix's mask versus Mariposa's mask?
I'm wondering if it might be mask versus hair. Marty's hair versus Phoenix's mask.
That makes a lot more sense.
Lucha de apuestas.
Because that's something that happens pretty often, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm down very much to so. Demask.
If they can't do mask versus mask, it's like mask versus hair.
Right, right. And I think it's, I mean, like, Marty's hair isn't as egregious of a loss. Like, I could see them doing that and shaving his head, like, as he fucking goes crazy and laughs.
I could see, like, a 2007 Britney moment.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's really good.
I would love
that. That's really, really good.
I would love that.
And then he starts, like, Kurt Angle, like,
with the headgear
with, like, hair.
The shitty toupee. So good.
It makes me think of, you remember El Zorro in AAA?
Yeah.
When he lost his mask.
Okay.
And everyone's like, holy shit, dude, you're really pretty.
You're so handsome.
Yeah, like,
yeah, sometimes,
why were you in a mask sometimes this entire happens. Time?
Right.
Well, that's why I'm kind of down for Phoenix to lose a mask. I kind of think it makes him nondescript.
I don't think he's losing his mask on this show.
No.
What show?
On an actual AAA show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not on this show. You don't think on Lucha it's going to be
no,
a thing?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm kind of for it. You know, if you guys are listening, I know you already shot it, but, you know, if you're listening, I'm down to see him without a mask.
Yeah.
I don't really, he doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
Right.
Although, now that I saw he and Mal being so cute.
That was adorable.
And he was nervous.
I dug it.
It was cute, Jim.
I like it.
Well, that's our show. That's the Hunger Inside. It was a good episode. Good episode.
Wasn't there a vignette at the end? Oh,
that's the one.
Bye.
Well, see ya. Rachel got real in the 60s and no one ever saw her again. but this was good. This was a really, really strong episode. A lot of solid matches. A lot of solid vignettes. Some violence. Some
Does
charm.
That mean next week's the end of the Cueto Cup?
No.
No, because we've still got Jeremiah Crane versus Mil Muertes to look forward to. Something else.
And then
Puma.
Mundo and Puma then.
Mundo and Puma. But I feel like there's another quarterfinal match other than Crane versus Mortis.
I feel so too.
Or maybe, I don't know.
I feel this as well.
I could be wrong. Who knows?
I think you are.
That's fine. We'll have more wrestling to talk about next week. We've still got a lot left in the season until Ultima Lucha Trace. We'll be right back here next week. Same time, same channel, same squad. Talking about episode 30.
Yeah, is it really?
It's episode 30 next week.
Holy shit. It's good stuff.
I know. We've aged horribly.
Oh, yeah.
Guys,
why can't we all be like Katrina?
I know. Live for hundreds of years. Yeah. Guys, until next week, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Check out XPOC12360. This week we had Gail Kim. And next week we have Drew McIntyre.
Oh, my.
I was about to say Galloway, but he's not going.
No. Same guy.
Yeah.
Rachel Evans.
Hi. You can find me at Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Vans on Twitter and Instagram. It depends on how your brain works, you know? Also, www.youtube.com/snarled if you like horror.
A lot of horrors.
Yep. A lot of murder, crime.
Watch the most recent Dark Five.
Yeah, blood, guts. Tell me about them. www.youtube.com/slaytrix if you like video games. We have a really cool new Overwatch series. I really like it.
I love Overwatch!
We have a really great walkthrough.
Overwatch? Her Overwatch series.
God damn it.
Each week, my friend Dana, thank you. Each week, my friend Dana, she takes you through each character on Overwatch and tells you exactly how to win with that character.
There you go. I love it. Overwatch is legitimately my favorite game. Guys, you can find me online at TyMatthewsPMA. You can find me on PlayStation Network. Let's play Overwatch. Play some Doomfist with me.
So cool.
Find me on the American Grit After Show. Next week is our finale. We'll have the... quite possibly the winner of the whole show on the show. We've had a lot of amazing guests this season, so it's awesome. So watch that. Watch the American Ninja Warrior After Show next week as well. Also, catch me on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Saturdays at 4 p.m. Check those local listings. But guys, until next week, Viva Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
A forkhead?